Cloudy and 13 degrees, what we're looking at here. Good morning, young lady.
Good morning.
Kathy Dickman in from Jenkabazoo.
Thanks for that young lady remark. Now I get my morning off and yay.
I knew you'd appreciate that.
So spry today.
So how do we follow up Janet's story?
We cannot. I was going to say, ID Channel's got nothing over her. I'm mesmerized.
Yeah,
and
I was too.
I oftentimes Schmaltz comes in early to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Live, and I am en route, and I hate to walk from the parking lot in because I'm going to miss the ending.
Yeah, I had to wrap up the shoot 'em ups, but that is the craziest story ever.
It is crazy, and it's great.
Yeah, that's the way she tells it, too.
She's a great story.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's excellent.
So what is, we got winter, and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, it's a slow time. There is no slow time at Jenkabazoo.
No slow time at Jenkabazoo. And besides the animal care, which we have daily,
mm-hmm.
We also have a lot of our fundraising happens between October and March is our fundraising team. People are sick of me hearing Kathy Dickman going, and now we're looking for. But I always want to preface that.
You're not the only one.
And follow up with, if you can give something mm-hmm. monetarily, if not, we appreciate everything people have always done. Keep us in their minds. Keep chatting about the zoo. Keep checking us out on our Facebook, our website. Keep visiting us during the season. Those are all very appreciated and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So help where you can. And if it's not monetarily at this time, thank you for your consideration and maybe passing the word on.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that you're not in our zoo family. We love you and need you. So there we go, because it takes a lot. It takes a village.
I'm still marveling at the topic last week, and that's kind of the reason that Schmaltz isn't here today.
Yeah.
He's out on the road.
Yeah, he is.
And again, because you guys, just in the things that you've been through, have kind of written your own little owner's manual. And you get a chance to share that with other zoos, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And in many cases, people say, you work with a lot of big zoos and you can learn a lot from them. Absolutely. We learn a lot from the big zoos. We learn a lot from the same size zoos, and we learn a lot from the smaller zoos. And we are one of the small zoos, believe it or not. We're not really small. We're considered a small zoo, but we're really not that small.
Well, no, you're not.
And we kind of in between that category as we speak the last decade or so. But also the large zoos can learn from the small zoos mm-hmm. and from others. And the bottom line is reputation and reputable facilities.
Yeah.
And anytime you work with a reputable facility, you're doing good for conservation. And we partnered up with ZDR3, which is Zoo Disaster Respond, Rescue, Recover. And that is nationwide, but they are stationed in the south by Fort Worth. And they respond a lot to hurricane facilities,
yeah.
Helping rescue animals, taking care of the people moving, even providing whatever, crates, transfer generators. So because we do that up here in the Northland so well, because we have a lot of experience.
I was
going to
say it's always based on your experiences and
yes.
what you've learned, what Tom's learned, what the whole crew down there has learned just by going through it
and partnering. We've done a lot with Dakota and Roosevelt Park zoos through their flooding, and have been able to help rescue and vice versa. To look up when you're sandbagging and see colleagues standing there is pretty darn important.
Right, right.
As well as the whole community there. So we're taking that experience to the workshop, and they're sharing their hurricane experiences with us. So it's a cross training, presentations and training, and just getting on the same page with everything. So it's going to work. Nothing ever works as planned in disasters. It's like schools have fire drills and
right.
things like that. We have animal escape drills at the zoo. We have disaster drills, injury drills. Not as many as we should, probably, because that's something you don't ever want to assume something's a drill either. but the more you practice something and think about something and discuss something, the smoother it will go, and it'll calmer or kind of,
mm-hmm.
take out some of the edge if something happens, because you've ran through it, you have a clue. And so, yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Hey, quickly, I got to ask you this because I thought of it last week, but I didn't get a chance. When you think back to 97, when you think back to that experience, what comes into your head? Because people ask me that all the time, because you were down there, I was here, and it's just kind of foggy to me because there was so much coming at us here. But I do remember a couple of calls from you and just saying, okay, here's the situation. We need help here. We need help here. When you think back on that, what comes into your head?
Well, first of all, thank you for being kind of storm central, flood central, because you were being inundated with information. And you also wanted that information to put out to others as well. You know, living through something like that, everybody here, everybody listening has, except for those that weren't born yet.
That's true. That's true. And there aren't quite a few.
My whole crew.
It's like, yeah, you weren't around
my
yet.
My whole crew. I'm like, hey, where were you during the flood of 90s? Yeah, when we weren't even. Okay. So, but you know, you just do it.
Yeah.
You just do it and you look up at others and you get through it. And as you know.
Right.
And but this is fresh in my mind, not just because he's going to the workshop, but because of that, he's getting a PowerPoint ready and some pictures and stuff. So this is very fresh because as of yesterday, he's up at City Hall with poor Darcy going, don't you have any flood? Because we gave all our best flood pictures to the AZA at the time. We gave them to magazines. We gave them to outer areas, and that was before we had digital, and so we didn't get them back. So we have fewer of the really good pictures of us boating over 8-foot fences. You just did things, but then we also had families at home that we had to think.
That's true.
What's going on with our kids and this and that. And my mom at the time, my parents were being evacuated from their home, moved into a flood home, and I didn't know where. Again, not only no digital cameras, but we didn't have cell. We had radios. And I recall oftentimes Meredith Mitzgott coming on the radio asking if she could come down to the zoo to help. You know, I'll stay at the carousel with Lonnie. And Lonnie's like, I got this. You know, I got this. Tell her to help others, you know. And it was a lot of radio calls.
Chatter.
And we always had to boat to the 4th Street to get any supplies.
That's what you were. I remember that conversation and I had on the phone going, I have to get in a boat and actually go do this. This is what we're doing by boat.
And Tom and I stayed on site most of the time with the animals that we weren't able to move. Doug Herrick, senior keeper at the time and through the years.
Right.
I love him. He stayed on the outside and went to the farms that had elk. Linens. Had our bison. We had ostrich at Cindy's at the airport. Well, actually, in her hayloft. You know, Bex kept ostrich. I remember a call from Cindy Bex saying, because we had the ostrich in her barn. And she said, "This is never flooded. We know this will never flood." That was the famous words of that 500-year flood.
Right.
And then we get a call going, "I think you might need to move them to the hayloft." So we're moving ostrich upstairs in the hayloft at Cindy and Jerry Beck's farm. I mean, there's when you say these things, I remember crawling in windows to people who had some of the zoo animals because their house was now flooding, and we needed to get there and get them out because the power was on. I mean. Everybody has a flood story.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has a flood story. And
after 3 days of no sleep, the National Guard took me home in a Humvee. That's the only time I've been in a Humvee, but, bless them. But that's how I got back home.
Good for you.
After all that.
You know, CNN came, and they did a lot in the area, but they did a story on Lonnie Halverson staying at the carousel. And I remember it because people enter story.
Yeah.
And one of the cameramen was out standing on the ice to film the outside of the carousel while they were interviewing inside. And Tom was in Tom's charge. And he goes, where's the river from here? Where's the flooding from here? And Tom goes, you're standing on it. And he goes, this is the river? And he goes, yes, that's the frozen flood. You're standing on the Red River. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh my gosh. Yeah. And Tom goes, well, you're safe. He said, but if you hear, you know, Tom, shenanigans.
Yeah. You bet.
If you hear it cracking, he's not wrong on this, but he goes, if you hear it cracking, it's called booming and it's breaking up. And if you hear that, you just run. So then what does Tom do? He jumps behind the guy on the ice and goes, no! And this guy has his tripod. He was sorry, like a dog on the linoleum. And I think back, and usually what do you remember about the flood? Those are the little things that brighten your day with it.
Sure.
And it was...
Good stuff.
Things. Good stuff. But anyway, great. I mean, if the community was already tight, but if it wasn't, that would do it, right?
That did it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And reminiscing. That's what we're doing here this half hour.
It's good to reminisce.
Kathy,
you were great with that, though.
We can go on about this all day. And someday we just might. I'll have you in here for the whole shift.
There we go.
Thanks for stopping by.
Reminder that Giving Hearts Day is February 9th.
Yes.
So we'll be back to talk about that next week. We will miss you, but we'll be talking to Andrew. We'd like to visit about the Wahpeton Buffalo Club because talk about things and people dear to our heart.
Talk about good friends.
And we've got our annual meeting coming up with them, and I just wanted to kind of recap, give people the history of that and them.
Yeah.
Beautiful people. So.
All right.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Take care. Kathy Dickman, Jankaba Zoo. It's the Morning Zoo. You can hear this Thursdays here at 8:20 at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Got a mostly cloudy sky, 18 degrees. Thursday, January 12th. Twin Town Villa News Desk, Twin Town Villa, gold standard of assisted living. I'm Bill Dablo. It's 8:30. Good morning. Concordia College announced yesterday that Dr. Colin Irvine has been chosen as the next president of the college. Irvine succeeds Dr. William Kraft, who is set to retire in June after serving in the role for 12 years. Irvine is currently provost and senior executive vice president at Augustana University in Sioux Falls. He will officially become the college's 12th president on